Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Pony Stampede podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. We're going to be hitting your subscriber questions on this edition of the podcast. And we've got quite a few of them. So let's go ahead and we'll jump right in. Was asked about SMU's chances with the NFL draft and who I think could very well be the highest drafted player for SMU this year. And I'm going to go ahead and bet on Reggie Robertson. And here's why. One, we saw James Prochet go in the 6th round of the Baltimore Ravens. And part of the reason why I think James ended up going that late is, look, that 40, he never ran it, you know, before the combine. I don't think it would have been something that it would have wowed anyone. And so he ends up going in the 6th round. Now you look at Reggie, he's going to run in that 4.4, low 4.4 range at the highest, I think. I mean, he is a legit track guy. And so I think, you know, that's something where he's going to be able to parlay that into a higher draft position than James did, as long as Reggie Robertson can stay healthy. So I think he's going to have a big year. He's going to be able to stay healthy. And that's, you know, of course, making sure that there is football and everything like that is played. And even, you know, if it's a shortened season, I think Reggie's going to put up huge numbers with Shane Buechele. And the thing about Shane is just with this quarterback class that's going to be coming out in 2021, I think he's going to be a later round draft pick, in my opinion. Again, I think size just isn't something that's going to wow him. He's not going to have an elite level arm or anything like that in terms of the NFL draft and how the scouts will view him. So I'm going to pick Reggie to go ahead of Shane Buechele. But I think if both have the year that we're kind of all expecting, they're going to be able to both get drafted and give SMU something it hasn't had in quite some time. So I'm going to bet on Reggie Robertson to have a big year, stay healthy, and be the highest picked SMU Mustang in the 2021 NFL draft. I did have a quick question from our board on Penn State graduate transfer quarterback Michael Johnson Jr., or not graduate transfer, I think he's just a regular transfer, but anyway, SMU has had some ties there back to the Cal days when they were recruiting Michael Johnson Jr. there, and they are not going to pursue him. So I think you'll see mainly things get addressed on the defensive side like they did with Brandon Crosley. Who knows what other prospects end up in the portal over the summer and kind of as, you know, maybe some players want to move closer to home during all of this. But no go on Michael Johnson Jr., the Penn State grad, the Penn State transfer quarterback. Now, we shift gears and head over to the recruiting side of things, where SMU is sitting just outside the top 40 in the 2021 recruiting class. And I was asked two questions. How many recruits do I think end up in the 2021 class? And then what is kind of the dream scenario finish for SMU? And I'll start with the dream scenario, because it's very easy to pick this one up. And it would be landing Braylon Jackson and David Abiara, who both, one has been a longtime SMU target, the Mansfield Lake Ridge defensive lineman, Braylon Jackson, who is starting to trend to SMU, I think, on the 24/7 Sports crystal ball. And then David Abiara, who is the Notre Dame commit, who's a 4-star defensive lineman, one of the best in Texas. And he's been kind of rumored to potentially flip to OU, but things have kind of picked up with SMU as far as an offer going out to him. So he's one to watch now. And then from there, I think Jalen Williams, the defensive back in Texas, who's been blowing up, and he's got a 10-600 meter. So he's somebody to watch. That would be, you know, another corner add, and I don't think one that SMU would be able to turn away at this point, even with Bryce McMorris and Brandon Crosley on board. You add that piece to the secondary, the safety position's already done, and then I think you're done on defense for the most part there. And then you flip over to the offensive side of the ball, and the dream scenario is Savion Byrd, the four-star offensive lineman out of Duncanville, Kamar Wheaton, the four-star running back out of Lakeview Centennial, and then his teammate Ezra Oetede, I believe I nailed that, but he's been blowing up. He's a four-star offensive lineman on 24/7 Sports. He does have SMU among his top group, just they're in a trail position right now to land him at this point. Probably not in the top three, I would say, but they're around and they're hanging around, and who knows? Again, dream scenario, that would be it. And then you add in Jack Lair, the Highland Park offensive lineman who is an SMU legacy, and somehow if they found a way to keep him close to home, that would be the dream scenario. And then adding Keetron Jackson, I think, at the wide receiver position would, again, be a dream scenario finish. So the dream scenario would involve, I believe, around seven more additions to the class. That would put it right around 19 recruits. But I think they end up signing 17 high school prospects. Braylon Jackson would be one of them. Savion Byrd, I've got my crystal ball pick in for him to go to SMU. And then three best available types or addressing the offensive line with another pickup. So I mentioned Lair, I mentioned Oetede, Joseph Amos, the Lancaster offensive lineman, would be one to watch. And then from there, I think they're going to be pretty selective. I think Keetron Jackson, Jeran Bradley, those are prospects that we've talked about on Pony Stampede a bit over this COVID-19 dead period. But I think, again, they're going to be selective, and if they don't like what they see, that would be a situation where they opt to hold it for a transfer. And I forgot to mention Remington Strickland. I think he's somebody to certainly watch. And so that would put them right at about four more commits. If it was Braylon, Savion Byrd, and then Remington Strickland, and then another offensive lineman, that would be four more additions to get to 16. And then somewhere in there is another best available that I could see them adding. So I think anywhere 16 to 18 is probably your best bet for SMU in this class. I don't think they're going to load it up. And then they'll go from there. But part of the big turnaround for Sonny Dykes in this program has been recruiting, and they've recruited very well, and they've addressed key positions, and they've addressed it via transfer, via JUCO, via high school. And that's probably been, I think, the biggest key to Sonny's turnaround versus June Jones and Chad Morris. And there's a couple of different ways. And so what I'm responding to right now is a question of how have the turnarounds differed and what has made Sonny relatively more successful right away than June and Chad. And I do think that it's different for Sonny Dykes to walk in, to a place that he's very familiar with as a college football coach. Whereas one, Chad Morris was still a very inexperienced college coach and had come from the high school ranks back to Texas, whereas June Jones, of course, was a total outsider. So you have Sonny Dykes, who comes from an incredible football family with Spike Dykes, his dad, and obviously spent a ton of time in Texas, whether it be at junior college and high school and Texas Tech. I mean, he's been all over, and he's been recruiting Texas or around Texas for basically his entire life. So in terms of recruiting, it was very easy for him to walk in and have an idea of where to go and how to address positions and get prospects and get new players. And then, of course, the portal was just so different when Sonny Dykes took over. That allowed them to really capitalize on bringing players back to Dallas and addressing that. And Chad Morris kind of had the right idea, okay? Like going in Texas to get those players, but he wanted to do it Texas high school football, built, born, bred, all of that. And he, I don't think, considered, and I remember having a conversation with some of the coaches when they were here, and they weren't real big on recruiting junior college players because they felt maybe they couldn't get it done at SMU academically, or for whatever reason, they did not want to address positions with JUCO players. They wanted to build it and build a program that way, which it, you can do that. But SMU is not in a position once June Jones left to do that and be sustainable and be good. And of course, they missed on a lot of evaluations. I mean, we know that having watched it unfold. And then when Sonny came in, those evals, those missed evals, had manifested themselves into juniors and seniors and redshirt sophomores and kind of the upperclassmen that you just, they couldn't just run off. But what Sonny Dykes did and the whole staff did was they really set about transforming the lines. I mean, from the offensive line especially, they did a great job recruiting wide receivers, which SMU hasn't really needed. Like all the elite wide receivers that they've recruited under Sonny Dykes and David Grew, they haven't really emerged yet outside of Rashee Rice. Now the high school ones, we'll see kind of what they've got. And then, of course, Danny Gray out of the junior college ranks. But, you know, they're stacking wide receiver talent in a big way. And then, you know, with Sonny, they had two veteran backs in Kamen Freeman and Xavier Jones. They had Braden West for that 1 year, I believe. I think I have that right. But overall, I mean, they had enough plug and play difference makers with Prochet. They had you know, brought in Kylan Granson and Reggie Robertson, and they just had enough to get by, I think, in the first year. And obviously, they missed out on going to a bowl game. But I think the big thing that I've watched with Sonny running the program is his commitment to fundamentals. And he recorded a social distance series video with us at 24/7 Sports this week, and that'll drop on Monday, which will be a real great listen, I think, for you guys. I've heard it all, and it's really, really good. But one of the things he really talked about was fundamentals and how that is what his system and his program is rooted in. And that comes from Mike Leach, that comes from Hal Mumme, and all of those guys that he spent time with during his coaching career. And I think that's the biggest thing. And he's hired good coaches who understand how to teach those fundamentals and put them in place. And so that's why you see SMU get better, I think, most of... So they fell apart his first year at the end. They lost two straight games. They were turning over a culture. I think that stuck with a lot of the guys. And then they come back this past year and they have a huge year, win 10 games. They lose to Memphis, they lose to Navy. Down the stretch, it wasn't great. And the bowl game was the bowl game. But they lose by a touchdown to Navy and a touchdown to Memphis. So they were right there. It wasn't like they folded. It wasn't like they fell apart. Losing Reggie Robertson was huge. Losing Richard Moore earlier in the season was huge. And they just couldn't sustain. And but the fundamentals that they relied on allowed them to get a win over Tulane, allowed them to get a win over East Carolina, and just kind of, again, get by and get to that 10-win mark and do that. So I think the commitment to fundamentals, and it also goes back to Kaz Kazadi being the strength and conditioning coach, that has all really helped SMU be a sustainable program under Sonny Dykes. I mean, they've really just done a good job harping on the fundamentals, and I think it starts with Kaz Kazadi and Sonny Dykes being the kind of the lead guys setting the tone and setting the culture. So that's probably the biggest thing is, you know, the real commitment to fundamentals, I think, is probably the biggest thing that's happened so far, you know, at SMU. And their ability with this staff to address the needs that they needed to address right away. And I was asked, how did Rafe Peavy and DJ Gillens not beat out a young Ben Hicks? I think part of that, and I know this is kind of a question in jest, but I think one, Chad was, you know, very married to Ben Hicks. That was his guy. That was the guy that he brought in December and, you know, recruited as an early enrollee and flipped him from Houston. And when Houston had their coaching change too, and, you know, they said that they're going to be he's going to be the one to lead SMU back. And he did. And he did that for all of the bad that was Ben Hicks. You know, he was a big part of it. But DJ was just a little too slow with the ball. Rafe, I don't think, was explosive enough. Like, I think Rafe would have been great in, like, an air raid and just hitting, you know, crossing routes and hitting high percentage throws. And he, like, if that was the system they were trying to run, like if Sonny had that quarterback room, I would think Rafe would have won it. And he's just, you know, just had a more pro approach and a mature approach to it. But yeah, I mean, that was, I think the biggest thing was that just Ben Hicks and Chad Morse were married and married to each other when he signed him as the quarterback to come on in. So, but enough of that, kind of moving on to some notes around college football with the Big Ten and ACC opting to play non-conference or opting not to play non-conference games and kind of the impact on that could have on SMU. I mean, look, I don't know what it's going to look like, and this is pretty unprecedented, but if other leagues like the SEC or the Big 12 opt to play, you know, only conference games, you're looking at, you know, traveling, you're looking at SMU schedule as it is in the AAC and then adding on those other conference games to it. And I don't know how that looks. I don't know what happens to that, but I would guess that's what they do. And it's so ridiculous to me that that's a thing. And one of my friends who, you know, we talk a lot of college football, and he made a great point, and I agree with it. And it's, you know, what's the difference when you're talking about, like, for example, SMU going to East Carolina this year? What's the difference between that and getting on a bus and playing TCU? Or if you're TCU, and I haven't looked at their schedule, but let's say they got to go play Ames, you know, but they can't get on a bus and go play SMU. So that's kind of the, you know, ridiculousness, I think, of that decision being made. And ultimately, I think for the most part, it's made to push back college football start date. That's kind of what I take away from it without having really talked to anyone about it. But part of some of the things that'll, you know, affect the athletic department is, you know, obviously what happens if there's no fans and things like that. And Rick Hart has already, you know, said they've, and this is old. This is way back. You know, so somebody asked about the $1.3 million in kind of budget cuts. And really, I mean, I haven't heard that it's affected much of anything football and basketball wise. That was how the question was phrased on our subscriber board. And the thing about it is they had, you know, I think, you know, Blake Brockermeyer was furloughed, and he was already leaving to be his son's, you know, offensive line coach for their final year of high school. But they made some like slight tweaks, but overall, I mean, they really haven't been too affected by it. I think the interesting thing will be is what will they miss out on in terms of tickets or what have you, if, you know, they can't have a full season or whatever. I mean, all of that is just, you just don't know. I have no idea, but they're, you know, navigating it. I think SMU is probably in one of the better positions just overall. I just think they're very conservative in how they do everything, and as much grief as people give SMU at times for doing that, I think this is one of those times where, because they're conservative in how they do things and they don't have a bunch of debt sitting around on many levels, that they're going to be okay for the most part. But, you know, I think it's natural for many cuts to happen to plan ahead. But in terms of like dire situation, I don't see SMU being in that situation. I really haven't heard much panic from anyone in terms of that part of it. There's panic in the fact that, gosh, you know, the football season, what's going to happen or whatever. It's not really panic. It's worry, concern. But, you know, other than that, I mean, it's just they're a conservative university, and they've played it pretty well, I think, to this point of the whole deal. So finally was asked, do I think there will be non-revenue sports in the fall? And I would say I think there will be some. I don't know what it looks like. I just don't know. I haven't heard anything. I just think there's enough like individual sports that are non-revenue that they can have and have competitions. And then hypothetically, if football is pushed all the way out to the spring, both high school and NCAA, would that help or hurt SMU? I'm not sure, obviously, but the thing is will somebody like Reggie or will somebody like Shane, which I think Shane would, but, and this goes across college football, would those elite players play a season in the spring, then go right into the draft? Would they have to go to the combine? Would they have to do this? What would the combine look like? When would the draft be? And then they've got to go into OTAs for the next season if the 2020 2021 NFL season starts on time. You know, all of those things would be the question marks I would have for how that would all look. And then would you see some attrition off the roster and say like, okay, I'm done here. You know, I'm not going to play, get hurt, ruin my draft stock, and then miss my rookie year because I tore my ACL. But on the flip side, somebody like Reggie, somebody like Shane, they still need to prove some things. But I mean, if you're Trevor Lawrence, do you do that? If you're Justin Fields, do you do that? Do you skip it? Do you declare? That's you know, part of the issue. So we'll see. I think it would help SMU. I think you would see some guys like Savion Byrd or whoever. Obviously, by that point, if things are pushed to the spring, that means there's no way they're having visits this fall. And that's my opinion. But if they're not going to allow football teams to play each other, they're not going to allow recruits to come and visit campus and potentially bring COVID onto the campus. That if they're canceling a football season, they're not going to be like, oh, okay, like, but no, it's fine if you visit if you're a recruit. You know, they're canceling a college football season. That means they think this is a huge, huge deal, which of course it is, but you like to cancel it, to really cancel it. That just shows how dire it is in their opinion. And so that means there's no way they're going to just allow a recruit from across the country to come and visit. So I think it would help SMU. I think it helped them get their class locked in and done and sign early. And we'll see what happens from there. But I would think guys wouldn't risk injury or their scholarships and they would sign early. That's my opinion. Moving on finally to basketball. Isaiah Mike left for the professional ranks. Now Tyson Jolly, next man up. Do I agree? Yes, I agree. Tyson Jolly's poised for a big year. He's such a hard worker, really, really, really tough player. I think he makes that team go with Kendrick Davis. And so I think both of those guys are poised for big years. I think Ethan Shagwell will get back into the starting lineup. I don't think there's any doubt of that. If you wanted an early starting lineup prediction, I would go Kendrick Davis, Tyson Jolly, Darius McNeil, Ferron Hunt, and Ethan Shagwa. That would be my early starting lineup. And lastly, was asked about a SMU target for the 2021 cycle, and that's Marseille Caston, who was a former 2019 recruiting target for SMU. He ended up in the junior college ranks, had a big year, and he would not be here for the 2020-2021 season. He's entering his sophomore year for his junior college. So he's getting recruited and he'll sign somewhere this spring. I saw junior college also push things back to the spring. So tough news there for them as well. But I think that's all we have time for on this edition of the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with more of our position previews. We'll break down the corner room to start next week. And we'll also dive into some more of what to expect as, honestly, training camp. Not far away if it's going to start on time. SMU, by the way, as a final note, announced four or five positive COVID-19 tests across 94 student athletes tested. So pretty good. 89 of 94, I think, is what it was, tested negative for COVID-19. So a good number for SMU. Things are rolling along. They haven't gone to phase two yet, but that's a good number. Of new arrivals too, 79 of them, including much of the football team being among the new testers. So good news for SMU there for the most part on the COVID-19 case front. With that, guys, going to wrap up this podcast. Thanks for listening. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Quick reminder to subscribe to PonyStampede.com as well as subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a rating and leave us a review. We appreciate you guys and thanks for listening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.